Welcome to our podcast. This is Friends on Fire.
I'm Mike. I'm a lifelong devotee of financial independence. I even wrote a book about it.
And I'm Maggie, a newer convert, but just as passionate, especially on the intersection of minimalism and financial independence. We're one and the
same. We are two like-minded friends who believe that talking about money with your friends and family opens the door to financial well-being.
The Friends on Fire podcast is about dispelling myths, building financial acumen, and sharing your financial independence journey with the people you care about.
This is Friends on Fire.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Maggie. How's it
going? What's going on?
Oh, jinx.
I know. Yeah. How's it going?
Good. You know, it is quite beautiful in Atlanta, but I came back from Michigan over the weekend and it was snowing. There was a wind advisory and it was totally disgusting. And
what
I don't know
the temperature?
How it was like 35 degrees and high winds.
I thought you were going to say like two, but that still sounds cold.
Yeah. Yeah. Cold enough where everything kind of melts once it hits you. But, you know, it's actually kind of the worst temperature to be at, in my opinion.
Yeah, I was in shorts and a t-shirt here.
I know. Well, when I got back, I changed into shorts. But while I was up there, it was disgusting.
What were you doing up there? I mean, I know that was a rhetorical question. But
you're just prompting me for the show. Yeah, I appreciate that. I was shooting my annual lacrosse video and had a great time. Got some new swag. Nice. I'm wearing, you see this? This is my favorite.
Yeah?
It's like a
is
Nike
that like a hoodie?
Black hoodie.
Oh, very nice. And they fit you with like good sizes. They don't like,
oh yeah.
I feel like when I get swag, sometimes someone hands me like an extra large and I'm like, thanks, this isn't my size.
No, they ask me what my size preference is before they give me stuff, which I appreciate.
Nice. Very nice. Makes it actually useful.
Yeah, that's right. So while I was up there, and actually every time I go up there, I like reflect on my college experience and also lament the current cost of higher education. And so I was reading a whole bunch of stuff and somehow got into some rabbit hole where they kept recommending new articles for me. And so I came across like a zillion of these recently. But we picked out one about college and saving money on college that we would thought we'd read and then provide some thoughts on. And not just about the article itself, which I think has a bunch of interesting points in it, but I have some questions for you, some hypothetical questions about the future of your children, which I'm going to ask you at the end of this.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm intrigued.
Well, it's not that big of a deal. It's like one question now that I think about it.
Oh, okay. Well, you made it sound like it was a whole set of questions.
No, actually, no, it's one question.
Okay.
Maybe with like a sub question.
Well, this definitely has me thinking about certain things actually differently than you might expect related to college. And I'm excited to read this article and talk more about it because it's about college. It's about trade-offs. It's an interesting sort of, you know, philosophical thing that, look, I'll be honest too. Even if you don't have kids, what I was about to say, if you don't have kids or if you don't plan on putting your kids through college, either way, it doesn't really matter. If this sounds not applicable to you, I actually would challenge you to listen because I think there are some things about this that are just kind of interesting to apply towards your own adult financial life and trade-offs and priorities and kind of how you make decisions.
Maggie, as you were saying that, it made me question something unrelated to this topic. Do you think that people start listening to shows and then determine early on that they don't want to finish it? Or do you think that for our shows,
once
they start, they like, if they listen to the first 5 minutes, they're going to listen to all of it? I genuinely don't know.
That's actually a good point. I would imagine some people read a title and think, oh, cool, that's about college. I'm not going to listen because I don't have kids or whatever. Or there could be some super fans that just enjoy hearing us talk about anything.
Yeah. They're like, I'm going to power through this regardless of how boring it is.
Yeah. Or they're just practicing their English. There could be a million reasons why people are continuing to listen if they no longer care about the topic. But that is a good point. You probably aren't even, the people who needed to hear that statement probably aren't even listening now.
That's right.
So we'll move on.
All right. So let's read through this article. It's pretty short. I found it on CNBC.com. written by Jessica Dickler. The title is, "There's a Quicker, Cheaper Way to Go to College, but Fewer Students Are Trying It." So let's jump into this article. Starting a community college and then transferring to a four-year school is a proven pathway to getting a degree for significantly less money. Yet fewer students are going this route. Transfer enrollment from two-year colleges to four-year schools dropped again in fall 2022, compared with the previous year, this time sinking nearly 8%. This continues the downward slide that started with the pandemic, according to a new report by the National Student Clearinghouse Research Center. This suggests that baccalaureate degree attainment is beginning to appear increasingly out of reach for community college students, said Doug Shapiro, the research center's executive director. For a group the pandemic hit especially hard, this is a trend Shapiro calls very concerning. However, there's another way to take up to 2 years off a four-year degree that's even faster and less expensive.
How early college programs work. In some cases, students can complete an associate's degree by the time they finish high school, a type of dual enrollment known as early college. Unlike advanced placement, which also known as AP courses, another program in which high school students can take courses and exams that could earn them college credit, dual enrollment is a state-run program that allows students to take college-level classes, often through a local community college, while they are still in high school. These programs are not restricted to high school students on a specific and often accelerated academic track, as many AP classes are, which, by the way, means they're available to anyone. At least 35 states have policies that guarantee that students with an associate's degree can transfer to a four-year state school as a junior. Then there's a really cool chart about outstanding U.S. student loans, which basically show that they're just getting higher and higher and higher. So that shaves 2 years off the cost of a bachelor's degree, effectively cutting the tab in half, not to mention the student loan debt. Early college students are also more likely to enroll in college and earn a degree compared to their peers who were not enrolled in any early college programs, according to one study by the American Institutes for Research. Our research shows that early colleges are an effective way to increase rates of college going and college completion, and that the return on the investment in these programs is positive for both the student and society at large, said Christina Zeiser, AIR's principal researcher. Although there are up to 900 early college programs nationwide, according to Zeiser, many are still under the radar.
A 21st century approach to prepare kids for college. Early college programs are not trying to make front page news, said David Martinez, principal of the Early College High School in Costa Mesa, California. Early College High School is a Title I school in the Newport Mesa Unified School District, which means that there is a high percentage of low-income students. Funding is provided by the district and the state. Parents don't pay a dime, Martinez said. Students take a mix of high school and college-level courses, shortening the time it takes to complete a high school diploma and 1 to 2 years of college coursework. Families need a 21st century approach to prepare kids for college, and this is one of the ways to do it, Martinez said. Nearly two-thirds of community college dual enrollment students nationally were from low or middle-income families, according to an earlier study from Columbia University's Teachers College. Of those students, 88% continued on to college after high school, and most earned a degree within 6 years. It's a very smart way to start your higher education, said Martha Parnum, Senior Vice President of Public Relations at the American Association of Community Colleges. Man, that's a mouthful of a title.
Look, this whole article, I feel like, is some sort of like an SAT test. Like, we're both having trouble reading it. And it's just, it's a lot of like long association names and it's like, for some reason, I think we're both just struggling. And
I was thinking either of us would get into college right now.
I hope this wasn't like some sort of an entrance exam because we're both failing it.
All right. So a couple short paragraphs left. Over 4 years, early college programs cost about $3,800 more per student than traditional high school, according to another study by AIR. However, the estimated return on that investment is about $33,709 in an increased lifetime earnings. Getting an associate's degree for free can really put you on a path where everything seems more feasible. Okay, I'm glad we muscled through that article.
Yes, muscled's a good word. So many thoughts.
When I sent this over to you, you reminded me that in one of our episodes, we interviewed Jason Brown.
160. Episode 160.
And yeah. He talked about dual enrollment. And I guess it didn't really register with me, or it was so long ago that I just don't remember. But I know about taking community college classes, but I guess I didn't fully process the idea that high school students can also go to college while they're in high school and start and do both paths of education simultaneously. And that really caused me to reflect and think on my own college expenses and what I'm doing for my kids. So that was like my big takeaway here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. And I mean, remember, it's one of the things Jason was talking about is a huge way to save money, because I know in the article they were, you can do it for up to 2 years. You can do it, like a lot of schools allow you to do it your junior and senior year of high school, which can help to replace your freshman and sophomore year of college. You can even just do it for a few classes. But if you, I remember Jason talking about, look, if you do it for 1 year worth of classes, that's 25% you just saved off the cost of college, not just in tuition, but in room and board and, you know, all of the costs of college. And the fascinating thing about dual enrollment, which they said in the article, but it's worth just reinforcing, is in most states, there are various programs that fund it. So you're not even paying. You might think like, oh, well, I'm paying community college fees, but you're not actually. When you truly do dual enrollment, it's covered. I don't know what actually is paying for it, but it's covered by the state. I believe the state in some way. And you're essentially like on a scholarship kind of, or you're on financial aid or whatever you want to call it, but it is paid for. And you end up paying for like books and some kind of fees like that. But you don't pay for the actual tuition. Yet if you were going in as a freshman, you would.
So Maggie, I have a quiz for you. What is the current cost of attendance annually at the University of Georgia for non-residents? I know you went to Georgia in-state. You had Hope Scholarship, I believe. What do you think it is for everybody else?
Well, I'm going to give you a two-part answer depending on what your answer is. So I'm going to go with, I was actually just Googling this about some other schools recently, a non-resident, not room and board, just tuition?
No, cost of attendance.
Oh, including room and board. Mm-hmm. That's a tough one because, okay, whatever. I like doing it without room and board, but okay. You asked me per year for mm-hmm. like all 4 years. Okay. $47,000. Oh, wow. I was close. Got the seven part right.
Guess what it is at the University of Michigan?
Ooh. I'm going to definitely go with more, but $56,500.
$76,000.
Gee, what are they doing up there? What's happening in Michigan?
I don't know. I don't know.
Geez. And for those that don't know, Mike went to the University of Michigan. I went to the University of Georgia, but I didn't pay that. I went for free.
Yeah. And I paid out of state tuition at Michigan, but I don't think it wasn't that much when I went.
Well, your dad paid out of state tuition in Michigan.
Yeah, right? Sure. Yeah. But this was like 20 years ago. Yeah. So it was probably like $72,000. Just kidding.
It's really high. Yeah. Can I tell you? Well, go on with your point, and then I want to tell you a fun thing I recently learned.
Well, tell me your point, because I'm gonna ask you my hypothetical question next.
Okay. The fun thing I learned, and we're going to do a future episode on this someday, because this is more than we can get into here, but I had the most fascinating discussion with somebody who, I'm not going to name their name, but shout out to you. She is in charge of admissions at a school in Atlanta, a private school in Atlanta, and has worked at a number of other private colleges, and private college, but when I say school. And our kids are playing volleyball together. She is incredibly knowledgeable in this space. And I used to have a view about private education or out of state even, Mike, that I was just like, oh, my kids, like, I wasn't a big proponent of that. I was like, it's a lot of money. It's just really expensive. And I learned about the discount rate. Are you familiar with this?
Maybe. I'm not familiar
so
with the term.
The number you just quoted is the book price.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's all price. Sort of a racket. Like they charge you what they think you will be able to pay and accept their offer, right?
Yeah, but if they want you, yeah.
Yeah,
but
right.
But let me. So the discount rate basically is they don't advertise it, and it's not called that. This is actually a measurement that is measured by a number of organizations. The sort of organizations that were quoted in that article that I couldn't pronounce the names of, but the discount I learned. Basically, that private schools and or like to out-of-state public schools sometimes, they give out. I always thought the only way you were going to get like any scholarship money was to be like really high need, so or low income, or like amazing at sports or some sort of other like crazy good SAT score. Like you just had to be like exceptionally talented. But I learned that these schools give out a lot of, it's not even really a scholarship. It is a discounted mm-hmm. rate that they offer, and they have big budgets for it. And I had no idea. And here's the fascinating stat, Mike. What do you think is the average discount rate that private colleges and universities offered in 2021?
Average in the discount rate all is students how much? Or average all private. Across those who got a discount?
All students. So if their ticket price is what you just said, like, so we're talking about private colleges, but let's say we, you know, mm-hmm. all the private colleges in the US, they charge like the rates you just gave as an example. And I'm just talking about tuition, not room and board. But the tuition, let's say the tuition is $100,000 at those schools. What percentage is actually being paid, right? The amount that's discounted off that, the rest is paid. So if you know, 30% is discounted off, then people are only paying 70% of the ticket price. What do you think the discount rate was in 2021 across all private schools in the U.S.?
I don't think everybody gets a discount. So
they don't. They don't. Right, but this is the average. Some people get 100%
so including
off.
Those people who don't get any discount.
Yeah. What's not included is athletic scholarships, because those are actually handled by a different
40%.
They come from different funding, which I also learned. 54.5%. Hmm. And every year for a long time, it's been about 50%, which I thought was fascinating. So the average person is only paying half of that actual ticket price at a private school. Now, some people are getting a full scholarship or full ride, so they're paying zero and they got 100% discount. Some people might be getting a 20% discount. They're paying 80%.
Or a 0% discount.
Or sorry, 0% discount. Yeah. But the fact that averages out to every, if you look at all the students that came in, take out the athletic scholarships, I just was shocked by how high it was, by how much private school is actually discounted. I didn't know that about colleges. And I always sort of ruled out, not fully ruled out, but like ruled out me bankrolling a private college education. And when I learned that, I was like, oh, that's like, makes me think differently about some smaller private schools that could be a great experience.
So that's an interesting segue into my question for you. And I think I know how you'd answer this, but if you don't answer it, then I will take your answer and then follow up with my own point. But let's say your daughter wants to go to Georgia and you have to pay out of state tuition. So it costs you.
But I live here.
I know. But just
okay, we're just pretending.
So $47,000. So $188,000 for 4 years. Based on your experience at the University of Georgia, would you think that that was an appropriate option for her? Would you be supportive? Would you pay that $188,000, or would you try to find an alternative? So, and I'm asking this because like you went to Georgia and I think you had a reasonably good time. You were well educated. I would say it was a good experience for you. So at $188,000, would that be the right price point for you?
I thought you were going to ask me a different question. My answer is it depends.
Okay. What does it depend on?
And it really, there's a lot of factors, and I kind of know, I didn't realize that's what you were going to ask me. So it's a great question. I had a good experience at Georgia, but not like amazing. It's a really big school. And in a lot of ways, like I kind of would prefer our kids go to some smaller schools, not tiny, but also not massive. I mean, Georgia is like Athens is like a town. So it's fine if that's where they want to go. But ultimately, my answer is it depends on a few factors. And I've always believed this. So it depends how much money I have, right? And I know how much money I have right now, right? But that could change in 10 years, right? I don't know if I'm going to continue to not make money for the next 10 years or if, and actually, I keep saying 10 years, but like it's going to be like 7 years till my youngest goes to college. 3 years till our oldest, 3 or 4 years, 4 years till our oldest goes to college, which is blowing my mind right now. And so it's going to depend on like how much money we have and how much of a stretch that is. It's going to depend on what they want to do. So I would never push her to go to a school like that. But if that is like her dream and she's like, I want my kids to get a less expensive college experience personally for a bunch, for not for my own selfish reasons, because I'll give them some of that money if they don't spend it all in college, some of the money we've saved for college. But I don't think it needs to cost that much. So I would rather them make a more economical decision, but still be happy. But if for some reason they're like, this school has the program I want and all my friends are going there and I just think this is critical, they think it's critical, and they're willing to put some skin in the game for it, then I'd be willing to handle the portion that I could afford without going into debt of that, if that makes sense, which might be, I don't know, 70% of that. But if they're going to, I have this view, like if they're going to make a decision to take an expensive college route, I want them to want it bad enough to have some skin in the game on it.
Okay. That's a very thoughtful answer. And I think you answered with a lot of context, but I think in the way that I was anticipating you'd answer. So let me ask you this. So
what were you anticipating? Like, it's not my first choice. Right. I don't want them to spend that much money.
Yeah. So you had a good experience, but it was not an amazing experience. You think it's a good school, but it's not necessarily the best school. You would like your kids to go there, but you're not set on it. And at $188,000, it's probably a little too expensive. You described it as not that economical. So if your kids had done a dual enrollment program and came in as juniors and you paid half of that, $94,000, would you say that this decision becomes a lot easier for you?
No. And you want to know, here's why.
Oh, okay. I'm surprised.
So no, but you shouldn't be surprised, because this is the question I thought you were going to ask me. Because when you mentioned this article to me, you said something about the trade-off between, like, how'd you say it? Time in high school and college.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's my next point.
But that's part of my answer.
Yeah.
The reason I wouldn't is actually because my memories of high school, I have way better memories and positive times in high school than I even did in college. And so I wouldn't want them to, it's not an either or, like, right? I wouldn't want them to miss 2 years of high school to save me $100,000, right? To me, there's like a third option, mm-hmm. right? But it's a fair example. I think it's a trade-off some people are willing to make, and some people aren't enjoying their high school experience. I think it would be short-sighted, because I think they'd be missing out on some cool life experiences, unless they hate high school.
I agree with you. And we have to think of this in two respects. One is the economical decision, and the other is what you want for your life. So when I look at the numbers for Michigan, if any of my daughters were like, I want to go to Michigan and pay out-of-state tuition, it's going to cost you $300,000 for 4 years, I'd be like, it is not worth it. I had a very good time there. It is a very good school. It is not worth $300,000. Now, if they came in as juniors, I think they'd have a great experience for there for 2 years, and I'd be happy to spend $150,000 for that type of education. But you raise a very valid point, and something that I think in some ways is more important than money and trumps any sort of decision you'd make. In theory, if you were to do a dual enrollment program, you would have to forego a lot of really incredible high school experiences. Probably the high school experiences that would get you into very good, expensive colleges. So all the extracurricular stuff that you need to do, honors classes, AP classes, newspaper, sports, you know, all that sort of stuff, like, that takes a lot of time. And I don't think you'd be able to do a college degree and your high school degree and do all of that stuff. So you are making that trade-off. And so I think there's, if you want to treat it as a purely economic decision, then I think it makes a lot of sense. But I am also of the mind that this is about, like, developing as a person, not just getting an education or saving money.
Yeah. It's like, I was going to make the comparison to paying off your mortgage early. It's an emotional decision, not a financial decision, mm-hmm. for me at least. But I think a better comparison is the whole debate in early retirement of, do you suck it up and work harder and make more money? We talked about this last week on the toxic career pressure, last few weeks when we did the episodes on toxic career pressure, right? Of just you can suck it up and work hard and get all those promotions really fast and just be doing nothing but work and make more money faster and then get to the point where you don't have to work anymore. Or you can slow down and take a different approach and enjoy all those moments, but work less and just have different, you know, expectations out of things. And I think it's an interesting comparison because I do think those high school experiences, and you talked about like the extracurriculars and AP classes and the things you need to get into college, which are important aspect of it. But I think the social emotional aspect of it can be just as important. Now, I said it earlier and I'll say it again. That's assuming you are having a positive high school experience.
Well, a lot of people don't.
I've talked to a number of people recently, and look, I got kids in middle school and I got our youngest one is about to go into middle. Next year, I'm about to have only middle school and high schoolers, which is like rocking my mind. But I was talking to some people whose kids are having terrible experiences, a couple different people, terrible experiences in school. And in those cases, it might actually be best for your social emotional health to get the heck out of there. What I mean? Like, there are situations where you can fix what's happening, but there's some where you're just like, you know what? Move on. You know, and if you could miss a year or two of high school, it might actually be good for that person and because a lot of people when they're not, now I'm basing this on like a lot of like movies and like teen things where like, you know, someone has like a glow up between high school and college or something, you know, like they're struggling in high school socially, but all of a sudden they get to college and it's like, you're new, you could reinvent yourself, you got a new identity, whatever. And so I'm thinking of just, you know, lots of like cheesy movies and TV shows I watch with my kids, but it's true, right? It could actually be an avenue to save you money and to put your kid in a better situation to, you know, let them kind of move on to the next step of their lives. But I have a fun personal example of this.
Okay.
So in true Maggie fashion, 5 minutes before we aired this, I called my brother and I was like, I hope he answers. I hope he's free. And he did. And I like grilled him with like three questions because my brother did dual enrollment when he was in high school. And I always knew he did it, but I didn't. I'm not sure that we like had a lot of in-depth discussions about it since then. I just knew he did it. And I knew he went into, at the time, UGA, or then he went to Georgia State. Maybe he was all at Georgia State. I don't know. Anyways, I just asked him, this was back in 1995. So this was 27 years ago. He said he did his entire senior year dual enrolled at what became Georgia State because they bought him. But at the time it was called, do you remember what it was called? Like Georgia Perimeter College. Mm-hmm. It's a community college in Atlanta, but they got bought out by Georgia State. He missed his entire senior year. He said, I was not on campus for all of senior year. Now I think they'll like let you on campus. I mean, like you can come watch games. It's not like you can't come on campus. You are dual enrolled at both schools, but he wasn't there every day. So he was not at school every day. And that 1 year he did counted for his entire freshman year of college and his entire senior year. And it's not like you have to take double the classes, the same classes. You're literally like dual enrolled. You're completing both credits at the same time. And the last question I asked him, and I was actually surprised by his answer because I thought he had a great time with it. I said, would you go back and do it over again? Because I was like, you missed your senior year. Now, his girlfriend was older than him, a year older. And so I always thought that was like one of the reasons he did it because it just kind of like got him off into like a more independent lifestyle or whatever. He immediately said, I totally wouldn't do it again. He said, no, I missed my senior year. And he also, at the time, he was the only one, I didn't know this, he said I was the only one doing it at our high school that year. He said after that, it became a little bit more common that like a handful of people would do it. But the year he did it, I think it was a newer program. And whether it was newer or not, he was the only one at our school who did it. So he was doing something different. And I kind of remembered that, but not really. I was a freshman or sophomore. I was, you know, like a teenager focused on myself. And I just thought it was fascinating that his immediate answer would not, because I missed my whole senior year. And I, you know, if he could go back and do it again, he actually would have stayed in high school.
That's which interesting.
Which again is my gut. If you're having a positive experience in high school, it's like life's short. Enjoy that time. You know, I was in a rush. I'm shocked I didn't do it, honestly. I was in such a rush when I was that age to like keep doing the next thing I was supposed to be doing. And I look back at those times and I'm like, wow, I should have enjoyed those experiences more, you know? And you can't go back.
Yeah, I totally agree with you about high school. I hadn't thought about it through the lens of if your experience is positive or negative, because I had a positive experience in high school, but I can see a lot of kids not having that. I think when it comes to college, I'm not sure that, you know, 4 years is really necessary. You know, it's hard for me to look back because, like, you know, my freshman year roommate was the best man at my wedding, you know? And so, like, mm-hmm. I obviously don't want to, I'm not going to say that I would not do that over again. It worked out very well for me in my life. But I think I could have had a similar experience in 3 years, maybe in 2 years. And so I don't think that the requirement of spending 4 years in college, especially if it's costing you like $75,000 a year, is necessarily the right way to go. I think you can get a lot of personal development in a shorter amount of time. And then if you want, you don't have to go work. I mean, you can go take a year off and go travel or something. But I don't know. It's an interesting question, and I think is very dependent on, at least for me, what my kids will be like and what their interests are. And to your original answer to my question, it will be dependent on a bunch of factors.
Yeah, I agree. I think we talked about that every time we talk about college, but I think of college the same way I think of a lot of financial decisions, right? It's a trade-off. You've got to kind of weigh the pros and cons, and it's hard to make the decision now when it's, you know, 4 or 5, 6, 7 years in the future. And I don't know how my kids will grow and evolve between now and then. I don't know what they'll want to do. I don't know. It's funny. Kate asked me a question just 2 days ago about college. And the school play is just actually did the last performance. I was like crying heavily. And she was talking about someone in the play, one of her friends who's got a pretty big role. And she said, you know, that person's not going to go to college. She's going to go be a famous actor. And I was like, cool. If you want to be a famous actor, like, go to college first. And I was just telling Kate, I'm like, not giving this other kid advice. I'm just telling my own kid. I'm like, I would like you to go to college regardless. And there's a lot of, and she was kind of saying, she's like, do I need to go to college to be an actor? And she was like asking me all these questions. And I was like, well, you don't technically need to go to college to do anything you want to do in life. Well, you know, doctor, lawyer. Yes, there's some doctor, lawyer, et cetera, degrees. But I still very much believe, I know there's a lot of different thoughts out there, but I still believe for my kids' future, they will be better off if they earn a degree, regardless of what they want to do, which is kind of what I was reinforcing to her. I was like, I don't care if you want to be an actor. I don't care what you want to do. But I would really like you to go to college and get that foundation, because even as an actor, it will help you. And even as a, you know, whatever you want to do, it will help you. But I know there's a lot of views on whether college is truly necessary or not.
Yeah. Yeah. I think college is totally worth it and like a great life experience. I am just eager to find some less expensive ways to go do it for my kids.
Yeah. You know what? I will say, you know, we had very, in the grand scheme of this world, like very privileged upbringings, Mike, you and I think. And my dad didn't go to college, by the way, and was, you know, I think happy and had, you know, successful things he enjoyed doing and was very well skilled. But there's also a lot of like trade schools and other things where like you can have a very successful, and I can't even think, successful is not the word I'm thinking of, but like happy and productive life where you're making like really good money, right? Like if you're a plumber and electrician right now, like you're killing it. It's just, it's a great field to be in, and it's a sought after skill. You make good money, you can set your own hours. Like I look at how much I pay. I just paid a plumber at one of our rentals last week, and he's making more money per hour than I ever made. And I have an MBA. And he's got me stuck, you know? I'm not going to, I need him to fix it, you know? Like, I can't, there's not a lot of negotiation happening there is my point. Like, I need you to fix this now. The toilet does not work at one of our rentals. And it's just, I just think, you know, there are so many different paths in life. And I think we both grew up mostly in an environment where like college is like the path, but it's not for everybody. So I just think it's, you know, worth mentioning that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, no key takeaways from our article episode, but
just it depends. Everyone's yeah, it depends. Different, you know?
College is nice. Yeah. It depends. I think those are our takeaways. All right. Let's wrap this one up.
Okay. Well, thank you all for listening. If you have been challenged or inspired by what you heard, please share this episode with a friend or a family member, or perhaps your, budding high schooler who, I don't know, they probably don't want to listen to this podcast. But we do believe that talking to friends about money improves and deepens your relationships, and it is why we started this podcast. So please help us spread the word and share this with a friend.
You can also rate and review the show and subscribe to make sure you never miss an episode. If you have any thoughts or questions, we'd love to hear from you, and you could leave us a voicemail or text us at 404-981-3370 or hit us up on Instagram.
Okay. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Maggie.
Bye.
Bye.